Welcome to the Make It Happen podcast. This is Erin Ramsey, and this is episode one, titled Make It Happen. So I thought as I launch the Make It Happen podcast, I would tell you the story as written in my book, Be Amazing, Tools for Living Inspired, the impetus of how I close all my speaking engagements, and a really life-altering event. And I'm going to start with this, and I often end with this story because we really can create the life that we want. We are intended to live joyously and abundantly, and we just need to slow it down a little bit and get inspired, look around us and see all the good that is around us and all of the potential and contributions that we're here to achieve and to make. So here it is, Make It Happen, Rosie. Living inspired is when we are state to receive gifts all around us, then share them with others through our actions, our energy, and our contributions. We focus on living a life that inspires others, and we help them see, too, that they are meant to be and discover the contributions they're here to make. One day I received a mass email from the Cincinnati Reds baseball team that there were cheap seats open and Creedence Clearwater Revival was playing after the game. My husband and I were not in a happy place within our marriage. We were both annoyed with each other, and we were in a solid downward spiral for months and even possibly for years. I thought it might be a good idea for us to have a getaway. He loved the Reds, and I loved Creedence. The night we were to leave, we had a huge fight, so I didn't even want to go to the game anymore. We barely talked on the long, quiet 3-hour drive. As we arrived at the All-American Ballpark in Cincinnati, music was playing. We got our hot dogs and drinks and proceeded to the nosebleed section. Sitting in front of us were Rosie and her grandfather. Sitting in front of us were two angels that will forever stay with us and one of the best gifts we ever received. Rosie was a dedicated Reds fan. She wore a red t-shirt with every player and their number handwritten with a Sharpie on the back and what looked like to be a third grader's writing. She was enthusiastic, to say the least. She would jump up and scream every time anything exciting happened or when her favorite players were up to bat. Periodically, she would look at us with a tad of apologetic, but I assured her that it was fine and that we were the right people to be excited around. We didn't care if she was blocking our view or distracting us from the game. Her vibrancy was entertainment enough. Her grandfather sat quietly. I'm sure he was a dedicated fan as Rosie, more reserved, but just as intense. The most beautiful dance between them was one of the greatest blessings. Rosie was eating pizza and the red sauce was all over her face. Her grandfather pulled a paper towel from his pocket and handed it to her. He never ordered her to clean up or to be neat. He never said a word. Rosie would jump up and down, walk around the stairs to the railing, and walk back over and over again. Her grandfather never told her to sit down or to be quiet. He completely accepted Rosie. He let her be who she was. Rosie would scream, really scream at the players. Sometimes when she would scream, she would just reach out and put her hand over her grandfather's ear to protect him from the sound. Not because he was annoyed or told her to be quiet, but because Rosie had consideration for him, a consideration that wasn't dictated. It was consideration from the purest love. As the game progressed, things were getting super intense. We watched Rosie and her grandfather, and it became apparent that the Reds' wins was a serious business for them. The game had gone into two extra innings. Rosie's grandfather sat quietly and intently, biting his fingernails every so often. Rosie's anticipation and energy was off the charts. She could no longer sit, not even for a moment. She was standing at the railing, and it was time for the winning hit to take place. Rosie's grandfather sat in the chair as Rosie stood on the landing and leaned on the railing, staring intently at the batter. Her grandfather said firmly and assuredly, "Rosie, make it happen. Make it happen, Rosie." She looked at him and nodded with her head in complete confirmation. The batter hits the ball, the Reds win, and as they are running the bases, collecting their points, everyone is yelling and celebrating. Amidst the excitement, I look at Rosie as she smiles and nods at her grandfather, confirming that she made it happen. Without a doubt in her mind and without a doubt in her grandfather's mind, Rosie was responsible for the win. As we left the ballpark that day, I mentioned to my husband how awesome it was to watch Rosie and her grandfather. My husband responded, I want to be more like Rosie's grandfather. He wanted to be accepting, present, joyous, empowering. I wanted to be the same. Don't we all? Sometimes when we see it in others, we can discover what we want. When we practice these things, we can help others see them for themselves. This is when we are amazing. We can be what we want to be by using the tools and making the right choices to live inspired. So let's show up for ourselves and others. Let's create joy. Let us be considerate and be compassionate. Let's live in gratitude and practice courage. Let's be present. So my charge to you today with this inaugural Make It Happen podcast is to go make it happen for yourself so you can make it happen for others. I hope that you really find some inspiration today and find your greatest contributions. Thanks, and see you on episode 2.